From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Each message is devoted to an entire book and will provide you with a summary of the purpose, the doctrines, and the applications of the book to the Christian life. The focus in this message is Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians. In the course of this epistle, the apostle explains his motives and his ministry. He exhorts the Corinthian believers to lives of godliness, and he presents the clearest vindication of his apostleship to be found in any of his writings. Chief among Paul's emphases is the glory of the gospel of Christ. It is not in the law, but in Christ that we see God's glory. Yet Paul faced much opposition as he preached the gospel of free grace. A group called the Judaizers insisted that believers in Christ were required to continue observing the law of Moses. This was an effort to add works to simple faith in Christ. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message entitled, A Manual for Successful Christian Warfare. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, By Faith, Not Feeling. The text is Romans 1, verse 17. The just shall live by faith. I shall not die. I do believe in the Lord my God, and this faith will keep me alive. I would be numbered among those who in their lives are just. But even if I were perfect, I would not try to live by my righteousness. I would cling to the work of the Lord Jesus and still live by faith in him and by nothing else. If I were able to give my body to be burned for my Lord Jesus, yet I would not trust in my own courage and constancy, but still would live by faith. Were I a martyr at the stake, I'd plead my Savior's name, entreat a pardon for his sake, and urge no other claim. To live by faith is a far surer and happier thing than to live by feelings or by works. The branch, by living in the vine, lives a better life than it would live by itself, even if it were possible for it to live at all apart from the stem. To live by clinging to Jesus, by deriving all from him, is a sweet and sacred thing. If even the most just must live in this fashion, how much more must I, who am a poor sinner? Lord, I believe. I must trust thee wholly. What else can I do? Trusting thee is my life. I feel it to be so. I will abide by this, even to the end.
Sin, Christ suffered 'neath God's rays.
The greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preaching during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
back to chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, you find that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the Father of mercies. He's the God of all comfort, and He comforteth us in all our tribulation. Man, it's good to be saved. It's good to be saved. How often I have visited people either in hospital or in bereavement or in going through some of the deep passages of life. I have visited people when thinking of a very dear friend of mine. The last time I visited him, he was within a few days of death through one of the most painful experiences, suffering from cancer I have ever seen a man have. I saw that once great hulking frame reduced to skin and bone with arms about the thickness of two or three of my fingers. Couldn't bear the rubbing of the sheet on his skin. The agony was real, but the presence of God was real. And the comfort of the gospel was real. As I read a verse with him and had a word of prayer with him, the face could still shine. I have to say this, I very rarely see people dying and their face shines. Death is an awful thing and the pain is usually too great for people to shine or even to smile. For the last time his face shone. This testimony was the same as all the others. Isn't it good to have the Lord with you in a time like this? How does a man face sickness? How does he face torment? How does he face death? How does he face these awful trials of life without the comfort of the gospel? Man, it's good to be saved. There's consolation. And the greatest consolation is that all this leads to glorification. We were reading in chapter 4 that our light affliction, and remember what Paul called his light affliction, all that list of things we read about, and you and I gripe and groan if something upsets our little apple cart or something doesn't go exactly as we planned, we pout and we're like yapping Pekingese. Now, if you have a Pekingese, don't come fighting with me, but I've heard them yap so often. And we yap before God because everything's not going our way. Here's Paul with all this tremendous weight and burden upon him, and he says, it's only a light affliction. And it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 1 of chapter 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, this body were to go back to the dust of the earth, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Thank God there's glory on ahead. Now Paul says, that's the message of the gospel. These other fellows are coming with their little theories and theologies. Here is the message of the gospel, grace and glory in and through Jesus Christ. What a message. He says it's worth preaching. In chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, he says that God has committed to us this word of reconciliation. He's committed it to us, to his people. We're ambassadors for Christ. Man, we have a message that's worth preaching. Let us preach it. It's the message the devil's afraid of. It's the message that God will honor. It's the message that is the power of God unto salvation. It's the message that can change lives. It can change homes. It can change destinies. It can change countries. We'll see in our Reformation Month studies, in torchbearers and in the Sabbath evening services here, that it changed the face of the countries of Europe. It went from Germany, Switzerland, France, the Netherlands, England, Scotland, Poland. Man, it just spread like wildfire. It changed country after country after country. It's still the same today. Bless God, there's power in this old gospel. The gospel has a glorious message. Don't let's be diverted from that task. Though, as we now see, it's not an easy task. Because that message, secondly, is opposed by malicious men. Now, in Paul's case, there were two groups of opponents. First, there were the Judaizers, and they hated the message of free grace. And therefore, they hated the messenger of free grace. They sought to undo his work. They sought to slander his reputation. I thought a thought. Very hard to think anything else but a thought. But maybe I should say I had a thought that I don't think I ever had before. When I was reading this, you know, this bunch were the most hypocritical bunch of liars. I'm talking about not the deceived Christians in Corinth who were taken in by him. I'm talking about the preachers who only appear here by implication. This bunch of hypocritical liars. Tell you why I say that. They were Judaizers. They were supposed to be upholders of the law. Yet, they were making common cause with certain people in Corinth. These people I would call their clients. And who are these clients? Well, Paul tells you who they are. And he says, in the final verse 21 of chapter 12, that they have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Now here were these Judaizing preachers preaching the law of Moses. And yet they were making common cause against a man whose life was blameless. They were making cause against them. And who were their clients? Who were their tools? Who were their co-workers? A bunch of lascivious fornicators who would not give up their wicked way of life. Strange bedfellows, yeah? But you see, when you get into church rows, man, I have seen the strangest bedfellows in church rows. I have seen people who would be natural enemies, you would say. And they have more to divide them from each other than to divide either of them from the rest of the people. But I've seen them make common cause. I've seen people who have nothing in common make common cause to destroy the ministry of a man because that ministry cut into the soft gut of their sin and they didn't like it. That's what was happening here. So the Judaizers hated the message of free grace. And they stirred up the church. Always be careful of people who want to stir up dissension, division in the church. Be very careful of them. No church is perfect. And no church is beyond needing correction. And no preacher is beyond needing correction, this one included. But be careful of people who want to divide the church, usually over little things or over nothing, or over misstatements, as in this case. Then there were the heathen, and they were striving against the gospel and its preachers, and they caused Paul much suffering. Let me very quickly run through chapter 1. Chapter 1. Paul says in verse 8, "We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came on us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life, and we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves." There's a dispute among commentators. Some think that Paul was sick. Others think that he was being persecuted. Certainly in the latter case you have in chapter 1, he's brought to the point of death by the enemies of the gospel. Then in the fourth chapter that we have been reading together today, he says, "We're only earthen vessels." People think of Paul like a Superman, you know. Surely Paul wouldn't feel anything like this. I remember talking to people who had, one man in particular, who had wounded me personally in a most
unworthy way. And he looked at me and said, I didn't think that you would feel anything.
That's the way people look at Paul. That's crazy.
Paul says, I'm just an earthen vessel. As Dr. Barrett very graphically put it, describing me in Sunday school from this verse, he's only a clay pot, an earthen pot. Nothing very beautiful, nothing very precious. Doesn't take great skill to make it. You'll not get a fortune for it. Paul says, I'm just an ordinary man, and I'm troubled on every side. I'm perplexed, I'm persecuted, I'm cast down. I bear about in my body the marks of the dying of the Lord Jesus. Suffering. Then in chapter 11, you have him give another great insight into his suffering. Verse 23 speaks of his labors, his stripes. He says, I'm a minister of Christ, even more than they. That's more than those who pretend to be laborers in the Lord's work. He says, in labors I'm more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. Later he could add that he was 14 days without seeing the light of day, shipwrecked. In journeyings, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils of the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, weariness, painfulness, watchings, hunger, thirst, fastings, cold, nakedness. Those are the things that are coming from without. So from outside the church, there was opposition. From inside the church, there was opposition. And you know, the same was true in every place, and it's true today. There is an unrelenting battle against the truth of God. It comes from the outside, under many guises. Some of them political, some of them social, some of them pseudo-scientific, some of them military. There are forces at work against the Church of Jesus Christ. You'll get politicians, you'll get judges, you'll get all sorts of people, just as Paul found, who will, given the chance, do their best to do in the messenger of the gospel and seek thereby to do in his message.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.